You are listening to the Gerwick Report Podcast.
The podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
Holla holla, player.
It is the return of the Triple Threat here on the GRP, the Gerwick Report podcast. It is Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. We appreciate you listening to the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that definitely tells it like it is. We've been doing it for 2 years now, growing leaps and bounds. Definitely check out all our previous editions at www.gerwick. It is episode 132.
In public, if you will.
And real quickly, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, the Frankster himself, Frank D.
What's going on, Steve? How you doing, man?
Well, we got another great show, a lot of great topics to get into. And before we dive into those topics, let me also tag in the former general manager of SmackDown, ECW, manager of Legends. He's a Gerwick.net Hall of Famer, and someday we're going to get him into the WWE Hall of Fame. Welcome back, the one and only Teddy Long.
Hey, glad to be back, players. Holla, holla, holla. And let me say hello to the Frankster, my main man. Glad to see you hanging in there, player.
I'm doing good, Teddy. And you know, you forgot to mention, Steve, that Teddy here is a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
I know you cannot teach that. Now, how you doing, player? And let me say hello to my man, Steve Areno. Steve Areno Gerwick, ladies and gentlemen. That's the new name for my man, Steve. Steve Areno, please let us know if you like that. And then if you don't like it, we don't care. He's Steve Areno. Holla.
That's a heel right
we
there for you.
Don't care.
Exactly.
Love us or hate us, we don't care as long as you listen to us. That's the bottom line.
Give me a hell yeah!
And of course, if you enjoy our show, check out all the archives, as I said up front, at Gerwick.net. We're also on TuneIn, Stitcher, and you can download our podcast on iTunes. Leave some comments there for us on iTunes. And you can also check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick for a great t-shirt for just $17.99. And Frank, I know more and more subscribers coming to the YouTube channel.
Yep, youtube.com/Gerwick.net. Over 900 subscribers growing every single day. Want to send a special thank you to everybody out there that's checking out our channel, that's leaving comments on our videos, that's liking our videos. Thank you very much. We're going to have to do a contest eventually to get up to 1,000 subscribers, so we're working on that right now as we speak. But also, just continue to spread the word about GRP, Breaking Raw, The Raw Deal, Gerwick.net, youtube.com/Gerwick.net.
Absolutely. If you can't put the few dimes down right now for a t-shirt, the best way is just to help us is to spread the word, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it might be. Just let people know out there that we're putting on an entertaining show, and we have a Hall of Famer here with us every week of the Triple Threat with Teddy Long on the GRP. And I guess a good place to start would be probably the biggest story of the week, because it kind of came out of nowhere. We've been talking about releases. We expect some more releases to come. Someone actually requested his release from the company. Cody Rhodes, been with the company now for about 10 years. A number of different gimmicks they gave him. Of course, recently as Stardust, the brother of Goldust, painted up. But he requested his release from the company amidst of all the releases. We saw Adam Rose also part of the company as well. I think this one kind of surprised people, Teddy, because obviously Cody has been a team player. Whatever gimmick they've given him, he's taken it in stride and done a great job with it. Former Intercontinental Champion. Remember him with Ted DiBiase Jr. when he first came in, kind of the new next generation of superstars. Of course, Ted DiBiase Jr. didn't quite work out, but Cody Rhodes continued on. I always thought that Cody did a good job no matter what gimmick they gave him. He got over. as he said in his statement there, he kind of made chicken shit into chicken salad. Your thoughts on the release, the departure, and I guess on his own accord, the departure of Cody Rhodes from WWE?
Well, let me say something about that, Steve. Cody Rhodes was a great guy. I enjoyed working with him. I worked with him for many years. In fact, I was there when he first came there. And it was like you said, Cody has a great attitude. You know, he had no problem doing whatever he was asked to do by the company. Any gimmick they put on him, he went out there and like you said, he got it over. So, you know, I think, you know, they probably just maybe run out of things for him to do, as though it's like what the business tells you, you know, in certain words, they'll come to you and say, well, you know, we got nothing for you right now. And maybe he came up with an idea of something that he wanted to do, you know, for himself that he thought might have been good. And, I mean, he's been around long enough. He knows good ideas. His daddy, Jesus Christ, God rest his soul, was a genius in this business. So he learned a lot from his father. So I think he tried to get that over to them. They didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to go along with none of his ideas. And sometimes I think, you know, when they don't want to listen to you or don't want to compromise or go along with none of your ideas, they want to get rid of you anyway. It's just that simple. So I think Cody done a great job while he was there. He's certainly going to be missed, but I wish him all the best, man. And like I said, he's going to be all right. He will certainly land on his feet.
What do you think, Frank? Do you ever feel like they gave him the proper push? Obviously, he was a good in-ring talent, could cut good promos, had good facials. Do you ever really feel like they gave him the push he really deserved?
Steve, I really don't know, because if you look at his career, when he started in the WWE, he was tag-teaming with Hardcore Holly, and then that went to tag-teaming with DiBiase and The Legacy, and then after that, they gave him that singles push as dashing Cody Rhodes, and that was kind of quickly abandoned to the kind of phantom mask wearing Cody Rhodes on SmackDown when he was feuding with Rey Mysterio, which I actually liked that character. He could have been a world champion. I'm going to say it like this. I don't think he could have been the WWE champion, but if it was still a brand split and they still had the big gold belt, I think that Cody Rhodes would have been a fine world champion to represent the SmackDown brand. I think everything they gave him to do, he pretty much knocked it out of the park. I mean, the last really good thing of note that he did probably was the Rhodes Scholars with Damian Sandow. And Stardust, to me, I never really got into Stardust. I didn't really like the character at all. It's just like, you know, me and Allie Green were talking the other day on the Raw deal. It was pretty much a kind of a Gold Dust kind of rip. You know, he tried to make it his own, but it's just, I never really got into it. I didn't see it as a world champion or intercontinental champion type of gimmick. I just didn't really see it that way. So I don't know if they gave him the right, you know, if they did right by Cody Rhodes or not, if they gave him the right push or not. I'm just saying from my own perspective that the guy could have been a world champion and they never pulled the trigger on it, especially at a time when he was really, really over.
Yeah, Titty, I think we all agree that, you know, Cody was a good talent, is a good talent, I should say, good on the mic, and he was a former Intercontinental champion. I think he was, a tag team champion as well. Do you ever feel like maybe he could have been a world champion? He obviously has the pedigree with his father there, the legendary Dusty Rhodes.
Well, let's get funky like a monkey.
Did they miss the boat with him? Could he have gone on and won the world championship? And that could play into the frustration is, hey, I've been here for 10 years. I've done everything you've given me. I've not complained. I played the game. And at the end of the day, you know, where's my push? Where's my world championship? Where's my opportunity to be the top star in the company? Do you feel like maybe Cody really could have been pushed and could have been a very good world heavyweight champion?
Yes, I do. Because one thing with Cody, he was a great worker. He was a great in-ring performer. He certainly knew his way around in the ring. And, you know, when you become world champion, you know, when you get that position is given to you if the company thinks that you're the guy that's going to put people in the seats. Well, I don't think that they were convinced that Cody could do that. I think, in my opinion, I think he could have. I think he would have been a great world champion if you do it right. It's the way you do it. And they know how to do it. They know how to push you right, and they know how to push you where you don't mean anything. So they can make anybody a star that they want to make a star. So I just say that they didn't want Cody to be that big star. But I feel that any position that they put him in, world champion or whatever, he could have carried that belt, and I think he could have drew money with it. But it's the way he's being used. If they use him right, he'll make the company money, because he certainly had the talent. He certainly was good out there with whatever he done. So I think they missed the boat with him. But, you know, in my opinion, you know, if Cody, you know, if it was me, Cody should be happy. He should be congratulating himself to get away from all that stress and all that abuse. So, you know, I think he's real happy now. And I think, like I said, I think he'll certainly land on his feet and he's going to be all right.
You know, Frank, he is in this position where, you know, as I said, he's played the game. He's done everything they've asked. He's been a company man. He's not complained. But the question would be, you know, from a world championship standpoint, as Teddy was just talked about here, we're seeing the friction, the heat that Roman Reigns is receiving. Do you think the universe would have accepted Cody Rhodes as a world heavyweight champion? Or do you think they may have rejected him and that may be the reason they didn't ultimately push him into that spot?
You know, that's hard to say, Steve, because Cody Rhodes was never given the opportunity to even be the number one contender for the world championship. He never was even given a chance to even go and chase the belt. He was always, you know, mid-card going for either, you know, tag team championships or going for the Intercontinental Championship or something like that. He was never given the opportunity. That's hard to say. I'm just going to go, you know, reiterate what I said before, that if it was still a brand split and they still had two world championships, I think Cody would have been a fine world heavyweight champion with a big gold belt. I think he would have gotten, he would have figured out a way to get himself over out there. And just the simple fact that he is a Rhodes and carries a Rhodes last name, I think that he could use that to his advantage and got himself even more over. But, you know, I'm going to be honest with you right now. He would never have been WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It was just never going to happen. No matter how good of an athlete he is, you know, here's the thing. There's been lots of people that have been great athletes. That doesn't make them World Heavyweight Champions. If that was the case, then Wade Barrett would have been WWE Champion a long time ago, and it never happened. And he's not with the company either.
If they want to make you a star, they can make you a star. If they would have gotten fully behind Cody Rhodes and gave him this massive push and really presented him, probably coming in as the son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, you know, it could have been a whole different story, but that's not the way they wanted to present him. I don't know, Teddy, what advice would you give Cody from here? Because I think a lot of the questions would be, you know, what does the future hold for him? He's requested release from the biggest company out there. What would your be advice right now for Cody?
Well, my advice for him right now is to take some time off, get some rest, you know, get his body back right, you know, and, you know, get his sleeping habits back right, because I know all that's all messed up from being on the road. But just get some rest, get your sleeping habits back right, get your body back right, get back in the gym, stay in good shape, and then just decide on what you want to do with the rest of your life.
Question will be, Frank, speculation will be the future. Obviously, it doesn't look like TNA is a good landing spot for anybody, although our good friend Ryback, it was teasing TNA in a tweet. What do you see for the future for Cody Rhodes? You see him taking a break, maybe coming back? Because I've also read online here that WWE is not too happy about the way this all unfolded, that he went on a public forum to request his release. You know, this is some of the things they expect to happen behind the scenes. And they kind of put him on the spot to make a decision about him very quickly. They obviously decided to grant his release. But from everything we're hearing, the WWE was not too happy about the way Cody Rhodes handled the situation.
I don't really think Cody Rhodes gives a damn how they feel about how he handled the situation, to be honest with you. I think he could, you know, couldn't care less. But here's the thing. The future of Cody Rhodes is going to be whatever he makes it. You know, whether that be New Japan or whether that's Ring of Honor or whether that's TNA. I can see a guy like Cody Rhodes, even though it's not a situation that necessarily I would get into, but once again, like we said here on this podcast before, if TNA was to find the right investors and they actually could make themselves a viable number two, I could see the company building around Cody Rhodes and making him a world champion. But at the same time, you know what? We were just talking about, well, did WWE give Cody, you know, the opportunity to ever do that? You look at his brother, look at Goldust. Look how over Goldust was. Was Goldust ever WWE champion? No. Was Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, his father ever WWE champion? No. So, you know, there you go right there. I mean, there could be something to that too.
Yeah, obvious question there, Teddy.
Yeah.
Was there friction? Was there friction maybe with Dusty? They didn't want his sons to get over to the top of the company? What do you know about that?
Well, like I said, you never know what, you know, what's really going on, you know, like, you know, back in the day, you know, when Dusty was in the NWA, when he was a booker for the Crockett's, You know, he always, and like, in fact, I was in some of the meetings there, you know, that we had, and he always just, you know, said that, you know, he didn't want any of us, you know, trying to go to the WWF at the time. That's what it was. And he thought that they were real silly. You know, he thought it was basically a circus more than it was wrestling. So he did have some negative things to say about the WWF. And one thing about Vince, you know, he has the memory of an elephant. He never forgets. So, you know, you just don't ever know, you know, how the man's coming at you, or what may happen to you, or what's in store with you, because it may be some stuff that you don't even know about, you know, and maybe Vince does, and he's just holding that in. So I just don't know. There could have been friction. You never know.
What was your guys' favorite Cody Rhodes moment, memory, gimmick, you know, as you reflect on his career? I like the face protector that he had as well. I thought that was working pretty well. Do you have a favorite moment, match, gimmick of Cody Rhodes?
Oh, I love dashing Cody Rhodes. That was my deal. I love that gimmick that he had there. That was the best one to me. That was the best one.
I got to go with the face protector Phantom gimmick he had going on there. And when he had Ted DiBiase Jr. with him, and they were, you know, putting paper bags over people's faces. That was actually really cool shit. So I enjoyed that.
And let me ask from a different perspective. You mentioned TNA, and we know, well documented, the financial problems, issues currently facing TNA. But if TNA is able to find an investor, now we're hearing possibly they went to India to possibly look into selling the company overseas. If I'm TNA, or you're TNA, or if TNA in general, would Cody Rhodes be someone you would want to invest money in right now to come up with a contract? To say, hey, you know, he's a former WWE superstar, 10 years. He's the son of American Dream Dusty Rhodes. Is he someone that TNA should target and say, let's find the money, let's bring him in right now?
I would. If it was me running TNA, I would. Not only, you know, I'm not getting off the subject, but not only would I, you know, put him on board right now, but Damian Sandow is another guy they should be reaching out to.
I totally agree. If I'm running TNA, yeah, I'll bring in Cody Rhodes. I'd bring in Damian Sandow. I'd bring in Wade Barrett as well. You know, yeah, definitely. Why not? These guys can all work. They can all get themselves over big time. And you can really put on the fact that, hey, this is the son of the late American Dream Dusty Rhodes. That's a story right there in itself. And Cody can go in there and have kick-ass matches with a lot of these different guys in TNA. So, yeah, I'd be definitely down for it. Only time will tell if that actually happens, though.
Let me ask Frank, do you see Cody Rhodes possibly going to Ring of Honor, or do you think that might work out there?
It could, but, you know, that's hard, though. That's really hard because, it's what Cody Rhodes wants to do. Does Cody Rhodes see TNA as a much more viable place to go over Ring of Honor, or, you know, vice versa? I don't know. I think wherever Cody Rhodes goes, he's going to be successful. But me, personally, I think he's going to wind up in Japan.
And I can't feel sorry for Cody Rhodes because somehow he ended up with Eden. I don't know. How in the world does somebody like Cody Rhodes end up with Eden? I don't get it.
You got to be a true player. And that's how you got Eden.
I was there when he met her, too, when they both got together, man. She's a real nice girl, too. Real nice lady.
Yeah, and she's very beautiful. So congratulations to Cody on that. And I kind of agree with Frank. I think whatever he decides to do from here, he will be successful. I would say probably Japan would be a real good landing spot for him. I just don't see him really working with Ring of Honor. It doesn't seem to be the same style, although I know he definitely could work there. Just doesn't seem like a natural fit, and I could see him going to New Japan. And all right, let's make a prediction. Do you think Cody Rhodes is back in WWE within 1 year?
I don't think so.
No, not after how he's left, not after how he's gone. And bash the writing team, bash the entire company about how the system is broken and is unrecognizable. Absolutely not. He's not going to be back with the company. No. I mean, his wife is there, but how long will his wife be there? You know, who's to say that she will stay with the company when her contract runs out? You never know.
Yeah, I think she's already asked for her release, too.
Yeah, that's got to be a strange situation if your spouse is, you know, publicly criticize the company, and now you're still working there. Yeah, you got to think her future is probably, well, I mean, if Teddy's already said that, you know, you think maybe she's wanted her release as well, it might be the best way to go. Is just let her go, and she can go on to something else as well.
Yeah, I don't see her her hanging, being there, you know, because, I mean, she's real smart, too, and there's a lot of other things that she can do, too, so I don't see her hanging around there.
She's a great ring announcer, though. Her and JoJo are great on the mic. I don't know what the hell happened to Lillian Garcia, though, but that's just me.
She's full of it. I can tell you what happened to her. She's full of it. She thinks she's more than what she is, too. That's her problem, too. Nice girl, don't get me wrong, you know, but she has this thing about her that she thinks she's this big star, too. Because I never will forget, one day we was at a pay-per-view, and they had Ciara, I believe that's what the singer was there, and she was up there trying to tell Ciara how to stand in the ring or something, how to do something, and Bradshaw got up and just cut a promo on her, like, would sit down, you're a 40-year-old diva, and you're going to stand up here and try to tell some big rock, big superstar how to stand or what to do. Oh, he cut a promo. Was unbelievable on her.
Wow. Well, you know, Lillian, of course, was there for a while, and then she left, and it was all about the singing career. I guess her singing career really never took off.
I didn't hear anything about her selling any CDs or anything. I know she had some of them around there. Some of the guys had them. I don't think that singing career worked for her.
I mean, other than what, singing the national anthem at the Jets game or something, but
yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was on that WWE Originals album that came out years ago. Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regret called it the worst album they ever did, and that's including Power Driver. So there you go.
Wow.
Well, let's stay on the subject of releases. No surprise here. I think Cody Rhodes was a surprise, but we've talked about this before on the podcast. The career of Adam Rose now ends with WWE, at least short term. He, I guess, officially was granted his release. I don't know if that was just a PR move for WWE to allow him to bow out that way, but certainly he was going to be released at some point. When you have like Road Dogg on Twitter saying that, you know, we're not going to tolerate domestic abuse, he was definitely going to be released at some point. So Adam Rose is officially gone, and I think you said on the last podcast there, Teddy, that we knew he was going to be released, but now the question would be, is he going to get the help he needs? Because certainly he definitely needs some help, and maybe with WWE granting his release now, maybe they can get him some help as well.
Well, I hope they do, because that's what they do now. As far as I know, they still have this program. There's a program there that they help a lot of guys right now. If you don't even work for the company and you got a drug problem or problem, you know, you can call them up and they'll get you in rehab and get you some help. So that's what I hope they do with Adam. You know, even they released him, but I hope that they're working something out with him right now as we speak. So to get the guy in rehab and, you know, get him straightened out, you know, because he certainly is needed. You know, like I said, he has a special needs kid. So, you know, he's got a lot of problems. So, and the only way to solve them problems is you got to get your head right and get your mind clear. And the only way he's going to do that, he's going to have to get in rehab, get off the drugs or whatever he's on, and, you know, try and get his life back together.
Yeah, I think before we can speculate about the future, Frank, for him is just let's hope that he can get his life back together. As Teddy said there, he's got a wife, he's got a young child that has special needs. So the most important thing for Adam Rose at this point is take care of Adam Rose. And if he's able to do that, maybe we can talk about his wrestling career somewhere down the line.
Well, it's not take care of Adam Rose, it's take care of, you know, Raymond LePan. That's who we take care of here, and his family. You know, Adam Rose that's gone. That's WWE. He used to think more about the situation that he's going to be facing coming up, like this felony charge that they're trying to put on him for tampering with a witness and shit. He has to, you know, get a good lawyer and beat this case and go from there. And hopefully one day after he gets his life together, maybe he'll be invited back to perform in WWE. Not likely, but stranger things have happened. So hopefully
and
at this point,
let me,
yeah.
And let me mention this, too. The WWE can also help him with that, too. They got lawyers right there now. And if they want to be, you know, I mean, if they want to, they can. They can get one of their lawyers and to represent him if they really want to help him.
Exactly. And hopefully he will get the help that he needs, because the situation here is not funny. This is nothing funny about the situation. This guy is facing a felony charge here, and that could lead to a couple years in jail if he can't beat it. So hopefully he will get the help that he needs as far as lawyers go, and also get the help that he needs as far as mental stability or whatever he's going through, because they have, you know, children down there. One of them has special needs. We saw that on the ESPN show that they did a couple years ago, and hopefully he's able to get it together. And that's just pretty much what it is.
You know, Teddy brings up a great point. If they want to help this guy, they can. He can get the necessary treatment for whatever he's on. But as Teddy's also said, they can also help him legally, and that might be one of the bigger issues with him right now is, you know, avoiding jail time or getting it reduced, the charges or whatever it might be. Would WWE do that at this point? We know WWE has the resources certainly to do that. This is what his second strike on the wellness policy. He did go on Twitter and talk about he didn't think the second suspension was necessary, or he had ample excuse for what he was on. Does WWE take that to heart, or do you see maybe WWE actually offering some legal advice or getting one of their lawyers on this team and see if they can help him out?
Well, what I think about that is I think what the WWE should do is to put aside what has happened with this man in the past, okay, but about him, you know, the saying the drug policy, he was legal for whatever he had. All addicts do that. I've been one, okay? All addicts try to justify their means of taking drugs, and that's all I think he was trying to do, just justify his means for having what he had, and plus he knew that this was his second suspension, that he was probably going to be out of work and not getting paid. So he's trying to justify this. He needs his paycheck. But that's what addicts do. They're in denial. I've been one. I was in denial. And until you come out of denial and realize that you have a problem and that the only way that you're going to solve this problem is that you want to solve it. I don't give a damn. They send you to a million rehabs. If you ain't ready, it ain't going to happen. It has to be within you. And so I think what he needs is them to really step, you know, get with this guy. I mean, I'm saying to let him go and not try and help him, I think that's risky, because if he got a drug problem, he could OD. Not saying that he might do that, but if he's released and got no help, which means he knows now that I'm not going to get any money, no checks are coming in, how am I going to take care of my family? You know, that's a lot of stress. That's a lot of stuff going to be on his mind. And sometimes people, the way they relieve stress and they get things off their mind, they dope themselves up. They take medication and stuff for relief. And that could easily happen with him. He could take too much and it could be fatal. So I'm hoping that they just don't throw him out there and just let him go. You know, if he's released now, I know the way the rules were, they pay you for 90 days after you get released. So if that's still the rule, then he's pretty, you know, still getting money coming in, but he needs to get some help with his life and where he can get out of denial and become a man and say, hey, I got a problem. I got to stop this. I got a family. I got a special needs kid that they need me. And when he realizes that, then he's going to be all right. But he certainly got to have the help for some rehabilitation, because a lot of people wasn't like me. I was just strong enough to do it. And then when I quit, you know, wasn't no programs, wasn't none of that stuff back then. So I'm saying he's got the opportunity to, you know, do a lot of things here. There are a lot of programs and there are a lot of things out there that can help him. So I hope they just don't throw him away. I hope they just, you know, pick him up and do whatever he needs to do to get himself straight.
Yeah, we know about the drug rehab, and they've offered, you know, drug rehab to former superstars over the years. And a lot of former superstars have taken advantage of that. And there's been some success stories as well. How about on the legal side? When you were there, did you see them help superstars legally? And was that common? Was it kind of under the rug? Because we know, I mean, we criticize WWE a lot for the wellness policy and such. And I think their policy in general is definitely open to criticism. But we also have to give WWE credit for, you know, helping a lot of these guys, you know, get their lives back in order, help them kick the habit of alcohol or drugs or whatever gimmicks they're into. But is that a common thing, Teddy? Has it happened before where they would help somebody legally? Because we know hiring a lawyer and spending several hours with lawyers can rack up going to court. Is that something common to WWE? Is that something that you've seen over the course of time?
Well, I don't think it's nothing common. I've really never seen them help anybody for it legally. You know, if they have, I don't know. But the reason I brought that up is because I talked to a Boogie Man one time, and he was having some problems with his taxes, okay? And he was telling me that they wanted to they couldn't pay him or something because the IRS had a lien or something on him. And he was telling me that after he talked to them, that they were willing to try to help him, and they would ask him, did he want, you know, to try to use one of their lawyers or something to try to help him to get his tax problem straightened out. So that's why I said that I feel like they could help him legally, you know, by, if they wanted to, just appointing one of their attorneys to go to court with him. But like I said, I don't know anybody that they've done that for, but they may have done it. But Boogeyman did tell me that they did offer that to him.
Well, that's good to hear. Certainly, they definitely have the resources. We know they're doing well, so if they want to do that, they certainly can. We're going to take a quick break here on the Gurk Report podcast. More in just one moment.
Check out youtube.com/Gurk Report Podcast today. Subscribe to our channel. Like our videos. Leave your comments. We definitely appreciate your support.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out GoWeck.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gurk Report Podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gurk Report Podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurk. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurk. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.
We're back here on the Gurk Report podcast, episode 132. You can check out all previous editions at Gurk.net. And Frank, as well, on the YouTube channel as well, right?
Yeah, YouTube.com/Gurk.net, over 900 subscribers. So check it out today. Subscribe to our channel, like our videos, leave comments on the videos. I'm very interactive on the YouTube channel. So check it out today, YouTube.com/Gurk.net.
Teddy, last night, of course, was Monday Night Raw. What did you think of the show overall?
Well, I thought the beginning of the show was really good. It was like a shot, you know, they needed a shot or something to, you know, to kind of boost it up. And with the Seth Rollins promo, I thought was outstanding. I thought he did a great promo. He made me feel like it was coming from his heart and he was sincere, you know. But like I said, he did this good heel promo, but the fans still cheered him, you know. They liked him. But like I said, I thought that was good. I really enjoyed Enzo and Kaz. Glad to see those guys back, and certainly hope that their company keeps them together and give them a big push, because I think the fans like them. They're over right now, and why not take advantage of that? But there were some other parts of Raw that I did not like. I thought the Sheamus thing was just, I just didn't like it at all. It was just bad.
What do you think, Frank? Is going to be just a short time before Enzo turns on Big Cass?
I think it'll be a short time before Cass turns on Enzo, because they got big plans, obviously, for Big Cass, and he's got that size, and Vince McMahon is a big fan of size. So, I mean, they might have a run there with the tag team championships, but eventually they're going to split these two guys up. I mean, because that's what they do. I mean, these guys right now are over, so of course they're going to put the screws to it and split them up eventually. But I'm with Teddy. I did not like the Sheamus stuff last night at all. The big thing is, you know, everybody's talking about right now, is the supposed burial of AJ Styles last night, you know, on Raw. You know, he loses at Extreme Rules with Roman Reigns, and then he loses on Monday Night Raw to Kevin Owens. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, I don't really see the burial here. Give credit where credit's due. Him and Roman Reigns had two phenomenal outings back-to-back at Payback and then at Extreme Rules. AJ proved right there he can roll with the big boys, and he worked his ass off in that match. And I know what people are saying. You know, he hit Roman with a Styles Clash and then another Styles Clash on a chair. And, you know, everything that he did to Roman Reigns didn't matter because Roman just beat him with one spear. Well, what people don't get, though, is that if you remember throughout the entire match there, Roman Reigns punished AJ Styles. He put him through two tables. This dude was just, he was throwing AJ all over the damn place. So AJ took a big beating, and then the Usos come out at the end there, and they give him super kicks and then a splash up the top rope. So, I mean, I don't really see what people are saying to Burial here. Obviously, they got a big plan because I don't see how somebody gets buried, but they're in a main event segment on Monday Night Raw. I don't really see where the Burial comes into play. Obviously, they got something planned here with the club. AJ Styles distanced himself last night from the club. Insert Finn Balor somewhere down the line here. That's where they're going to go with this the story. Problem I have, though, when it comes to the Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns situation is that, okay, where does Seth Rollins come in as the number one contender for the championship? I don't get that. It's cool to see Rollins back, but how is he the number one contender when there's so many other guys on the roster that's been there consistently working? And I wouldn't have taken AJ Styles out of it. I would have kept AJ Styles in the fray here, maybe do a triple threat at Money in the Bank for the championship. You know, because Roman and AJ have had pretty good matches, but let's see what these three guys can do together. I mean, Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, I mean, they had a match years ago, and it was damn good. Imagine what they can do now in WWE.
A triple threat sounds really good to me.
Yeah, I agree with Frank. I mean, they took him out way too quick. There's still a lot of story there between AJ and Roman Reigns, you know? And, I mean, if it was me, I'd have went all the way to Money in the Bank with this triple threat. Now you do something right there with AJ. You do something in there where you maybe pull him out of it. Now you got another match at the next pay-per-view for Seth and Roland. Now you give him that singles match. AJ's out of it. So, I mean, I just don't know what the reckon. I'm sure they know what they're doing, but like I said, I just don't understand it.
I've criticized the way they've used AJ only because he's lost, what, 3 pay-per-views in a row. But I would not use the phrase burial. I think people maybe are using that a little too strongly. I mean, when I think of a burial of somebody, I kind of think of Terry Taylor as the Red Rooster. I kind of think Owen Hart going back to the Blue Blazer before he died. I think of people being taken off television because they have nothing for them, or taken off the road where they can't make any money. I kind of think of that as a burial. You know, I'm not real happy with the way they use AJ, but I understand he is in the main event, and certainly the TNA guy is in the WWE title picture, but I think, Frank, they're just kind of using that term incorrectly. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys being buried over the years. I definitely don't think AJ's being buried now.
No, I don't see a burial here. And people out there are probably going to disagree with me, and that's fine. You know, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one, you know what I'm saying? So I don't see it as a burial. I just see it as it's continuing the story here of whatever they're going to do. Eventually, AJ will be back going after the championship. That's going to happen down the line. But who knows what they have planned for AJ right now. It could be, like I said before, AJ Styles, you know, had the falling out last night with the club. Insert Finn Balor somewhere in the situation. It could be, hey, Finn Balor, AJ Styles taking on Anderson and Gallows at Money in the Bank, in which Finn Balor turns on AJ. And that sets up a match between these two. Or it could be AJ Styles going up against John Cena at some point. There's a lot of things you can do here with AJ Styles. It wasn't a burial. He wasn't buried just because he didn't become the WWE champion. If you really thought that AJ Styles, who just came to the company in January, is going to be the WWE champion now when they're fully pushing Roman Reigns, it just wasn't going to happen. Just like at Money in the Bank, if you think that Seth Rollins coming back now, he's just going to come in and he's going to beat Roman Reigns. It won't happen. Seth Rollins is going to be fed to Roman. The Roman Reigns experiment will continue. That's what's going to go down here. So I don't really see a burial.
Well, and the other thing, too, that you know, sometimes you have to listen to what you hear, too, that you hear Shane first when he first opened up. He talk about this as WrestleMania written all over it.
Exactly, yeah.
See, they'll go all the way to WrestleMania with that, man. That may be your next WrestleMania.
And, of course, we also should mention what next week is the return of Super Cena. So where do they go with John Cena once he's back? I don't know, Frank. Maybe he gets the triple threat.
I would hope not. Once again, you know, outside of him being John Cena, what has he done to say he's the number one contender for the championship? He hasn't done it.
Man, you're right. He ain't been involved in the story. He hasn't been involved in anything. So how you just going to come right in and take over like that?
Exactly. I mean, I would have much rather wanted to see AJ versus Seth Rollins. Okay, I think a lot of people would doubt that would be the dream scenario. AJ,
heck yeah,
AJ
absolutely
beats Roman at Money. AJ beats Roman at Extreme Rules. Wrestles Seth Rollins for the championship of Money in the Bank. That's a dream scenario. But it just wasn't ever going to happen. That wasn't what it was designed for. I think that, you know, it was designed just what it was. AJ comes in, makes Roman Reigns look like a monster, gives him two of the best matches I've ever seen Roman Reigns compete in, and go from there. So, I don't know. I mean, you got all these guys coming in now. You got Seth coming back. You know, he's back. You got John Cena coming back next week. Randy Orton, you make sure he's in to come into the fray as well. So then you have all these talents. What do you do with everybody? That's where I'll be concerned with. I'll be concerned with John Cena comes back and Randy Orton comes back. Where do you then go with AJ Styles and the club? That's where I'm concerned about it after that fact. But I'm still intrigued right now for whatever they're going to do. If it's going to be bulletproof, it will be Balor Club. Hey, a feud between Finn Balor and AJ Styles, hey, I can dig it.
Well, Vince knows what you want before you know it. So you really wanted to see Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. You really didn't want to see AJ versus Seth Rollins at this point. Vince knows.
It was too soon, man. It's too soon. They rushed it. I would have waited to do this match at SummerSlam, but they rushed it. You know, they got the T-Mobile Arena is brand new. They want to do Money in the Bank, you know, it's a big deal. But it's rushed, man. I would have waited at least until SummerSlam to have the first match between Roman and Seth Rollins if they were going to do that. You could have gotten another month out of AJ and Roman Reigns. Eventually, I think what's going to happen here, you could eventually, if they had done this stupid cage match at Extreme Rules with Jericho and Ambrose, the next logical step in this feud would have been AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns for the championship inside the steel cage. That way, you keep out the club and you keep out the Usos. That's how you do that shit. That's booking one-on-one. But, hey, it's the WWE today. We'll give you two good pay-per-view matches, and then we go on to the next guy. That's how it goes.
Totally agreeing with Frank. You know, exactly the way that they're doing this program here. Is this really, it's rushed, and it's just not, it's like they never... They're not thinking about this. There's no thought into it. You know, it's like, hey, we got an idea. Let's do it. You know, it's so much more you can get out of that. I mean, that triple threat, you got that. Now you pull AJ out, you know, and now you got Seth and Roman. I like I said, man, I don't know. I just don't know what to tell you.
And, of course, the wild card is going to be John Cena. What do they do with John Cena now? He's coming back, and you don't expect him to feud for the Intercontinental Championship. So, you know, where do they go with Super Cena?
Rusev just won the United States Championship at Extreme Rules, so the obvious thing would be Memorial Day, John Cena, Rusev, Cena beats Rusev, becomes a U.S. champion, and we start the John Cena U.S. Championship Open Challenge all over again. That's what you do.
Okay. Do you like that, Teddy?
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, didn't we just see that?
But that's what you want. But that's what you want, because Vince knows what you want.
All right, I got you, man.
And before we move on from Raw, Frank, we should mention the what's getting a lot of flack was that promo last night with Charlotte in the Ric Flair segment. It actually made FoxSports.com. Ric Flair cries during this awful, brutal segment. What happened there, Teddy? Did she just let the fans get to her? Why didn't that deliver last night?
Well, I think that she's done a great job with the promo. And basically, I heard all of it, you know. I thought she had some bad spots in there, some bad moments. Sometimes when you're out there on that live TV, you know, and she's not a veteran, you know, she's just, you know, still, you know, trying to learn. And sometimes the fans can get to you, you know. You always learn, though. You don't pay attention to them. You know how to involve the fans. You know when to involve them and when not to. So maybe she's just working on that. But like I said, some parts of the promo was good and some parts of the promo was bad. The only thing I didn't like about it, I just didn't like the way that Flair went out. You know what I mean? I guess that's just typical Ric Flair. You know, he did cry when he retired along with Shawn Michaels. But I mean, if you're 16-time world champion and your daughter's belittling you like that on TV, you know, I mean, to be real with it for me, you know, I'd cut her right off. You know, I'd let her get all her stuff in and cut her off and let her know, hey, I'm your father, whether I was there or out on the road or whatever, whether I was there for you or not, doesn't give you the right to talk to me the way that you're talking to me. So if you think you can do it on your own, then you got it. And I'd have just walked right out of there. But like you say, it's typical Ric Flair, the crying, the stuff, maybe that's what they wanted.
Yeah, we've been seeing Ric Flair cry a lot. So I guess that's That's Ric Flair in 2016. And has been for a number of years now.
Yeah, it was Ric Flair in 1991 and Ric Flair in 1992.
That's true. That's right.
And '99 and shit. So, hey, man, you know what? I didn't like the segment because she let the crowd get to her when they started with the what chants. And she just completely stumbled over everything she was trying to say. I didn't believe it at all. It was all contrived. The only person I could see doing a promo like that was Stephanie McMahon when she was doing it with Vince. Because Stephanie could be that bitchy heel. She can do that. Charlotte just doesn't have that ruthless aggression. You know, she doesn't have it yet. And I didn't like the promo at all. I thought it was garbage. The whole segment was garbage. I mean, the best, you know, thing I've heard someone say to the what chants was when the Undertaker says the crowd is out there chanting what to him. He says, I tell you what, say what again, and you sleep with your own sister. You know what I'm saying? That right there was the best line I ever heard with the what chants. You know, because the what chants are so played out, man. It's like, it's so stupid. But it's a sign, though, too, at the same point, that they're really not into what you're saying. So they'll give you the what treatment. And Charlotte got the what treatment throughout this entire promo last night. The whole exchange was garbage. Did not care for it at all. I was glad when it was over. And Ric Flair taking his final, you know, bow, pretty much his curtain call, as we saw when the camera went to the back and it said exit on the door. Ric Flair is leaving the building. So, hey, is it the end of Ric Flair on WWE TV? Who knows? Ric Flair could probably come back and manage another women's wrestler to go after his daughter. Who knows? I just didn't care for this segment, though. I agree with Fox. It was brutal. Very brutal, cringeworthy, hard to watch. Just the acting just wasn't there. I mean, the only thing that was there was Ric Flair, you know, crying on cue. And if you listen to Scott Steiner's shoot interviews, Ric Flair does that a lot.
Yeah, it was definitely a segment that should have been recorded for SmackDown because what they did the segment with Ric Flair and Italia, and he told her to kill herself. So, you know, it's one of those you needed to edit it down and take that off there. But that's what you get when you got live television. And, Frank, I know you watch NXT. Dana Brooke, of course, now on the main roster. Where they go with her? Does she have talent? Is there only two reasons she's on TV? What's going on with her?
Well, damn, Steve, the two reasons. Are you referring to her tits? Or are you referring to those big-ass lips that she has? Because I'm not sure. I'm not sure which one you're referring to. When I was watching Breaking Ground on the network, and she was on there, I could not keep my eyes off her damn lips. Because that's what you pay attention to with those collagen-filled lips. So I don't know what the hell they do. I'm not really a big fan of hers. I'm not really a big fan of her pairing with Charlotte. I think that it's pretty much, hey, you know what? You were with Emma. Now that Emma is gone, we're going to put you now with Charlotte. You know, so I'm not feeling it. There's plenty of other people that they could have called up from NXT to come up to the main roster. She's not one of them. When are we going to get Bayley to the main roster, you know? When are we going to get Asuka to the main roster? If you want to bring up some women that actually can go out there and work. I mean, Dana Brooke is decent, but she's not, I mean, it's like, another NXT person that you bring up to the main roster with really no story. You don't know anything about. I mean, what do you know about Dana Brooke? Nothing.
She was, a model, right? And they trained her to be a wrestler, essentially.
Dude,
I
don't know, dude. I just know those DSLs she got on her fucking face. That's all I know.
Well, I'm like Frank. I don't know anything about her. What has Dana Brooke ever done? You know, she looks good. You know, boys, I guess if that's what they want. They want that good look out there. You know, that's it, but I think she's just not ready to be compared with Charlotte. I think they need to leave Charlotte by herself. She supposedly now got rid of her dad. Now why bring anybody else in the equation? Let her do it on her own now. Let her get some experience. Let her learn.
Yeah, that's another thing I have a problem with it too, when they tell you just said it right there, is the fact that, okay, you're kind of showing a kind of a weakness here with Charlotte, that Charlotte can't do things on her own. She always has to have somebody at her side. And I don't like that. That's all bad. That's the chicken shit heel champion that, you know, they like to say. So I don't like that. And I think if you really want to, you know, move forward, that Charlotte is really not with Ric Flair anymore and she's, you know, screw Ric Flair, you got to give Charlotte some new music. It can't be the same song she's coming out to now because that's too Ric Flair-ish. She can't do anything.
Well, every time you hear the woo, who you think about?
Exactly. So she got to cut all that out of her act, period. You know, you can't do that stuff anymore.
And, of course, a follow-up as well from our last podcast. We were talking about the Divas. Emma, of course, is out. She had surgery. And now we found out, Frank, we wonder what was going on with the boss. I guess Sasha Banks was injured in a kind of a freak accident at a live WWE event.
Yeah, dude got kneed in the head by a referee. What the hell is going on with that ref? Fire his ass.
Dang it, Teddy, those referees are always in the way.
Well, I tell you, I can't agree with firing the referee because I tell you, it's a lot of fluke things happen in the ring when you're a referee. I never forget one time I was refereeing the Dudleys when I first started to work for Vince. And I don't know how it happened, but Bubba Ray hit me right, almost broke my nose. And I couldn't tell you how that happened today. So I'm just saying, it's just accidents can happen in the ring. You just never know how they're going to come about.
And you wonder if this is going to hurt Sasha. She was actually pretty hot there, Frank, giving her a big push. And now she's off television. I don't know. Does she get back in the title picture when she comes back?
Well, I mean, once again, you got to start from scratch. There's lots of other females right now that are going out there that's actively competing, and Sasha Banks is not active. So how do you justify if she comes back tomorrow, how is she the number one contender?
Well, how is Seth Rollins the number one contender?
Well, that's my point, Steve.
Yeah, that's
my
makes
point.
Makes no sense.
It makes sense, but but at the end of the day, it's pro wrestling. When has it ever made sense?
No. Sports entertainment, as you would say.
Oh, yeah, sports entertainment, right. So when has it ever made sense? So I don't know.
And it's like this. If they want to push Sasha Banks, then they'll bring her right back in and write her right back into a story. That's if they want to do that. They're just like they did Seth Rollins.
True. Frank, what was your thoughts overall on Extreme Rules?
I thought Extreme Rules was worth my $9.99, Steve. I thought it was, it was a good show. I didn't really have any problems with Extreme Rules. I was really surprised though that Jericho and Ambrose delivered that bump that they did with the thumbtacks. I was shocked. But I really liked the Fatal 4-Way match for the Intercontinental Championship. I thought Miz, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Owens, they worked really hard in that match. It was very good. And I have to put that one in the main event as the best matches of the night. The match that I was really surprised that wasn't really good was the women's championship match. I did not like it at all. Natalya versus Charlotte. I didn't care for it. I thought it sucked. And the tag team match between the New Day and the Vaude Villains was just, you know, kind of there. The Usos versus Anderson and Gallows, that was a good match. But you've seen it so many times on Raw recently, it didn't really make a difference. It didn't matter. So, but other than that, for $9.99, I thought it was a good show. So I have to give it I'll be generous and give it a B because AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, I mean, they tore the house down, man. It was a really good outing. I would say who's Roman Reigns' greatest opponent? AJ Styles.
And, you know, Teddy, Frank was just talking about The Miz there. A lot of people like The Miz, but there's also a faction that really don't, kind of despises The Miz. What do you think of him overall as a in-ring performer and a WWE talent right now?
I think he's a great in-ring performer. You know, I knew The Miz when The Miz first came in to the WWE, went down in Deep South, and he was working down there when they had the Deep South territory, and that's, well, basically Deep South was like NXT. It was the wrestling school. And he started down there and everything. So Miz, I think he's a great in-ring performer. He's a great person, got a great attitude. I mean, he's always been nice and got along with me and everything and with the boys, but I have seen him now in action. Now, he can be a little cocky when he wants to, but other than that, man, I like Miz. I think he's a nice guy.
Real quickly, I want to mention as well, we've, of course, been updating you on Bobby the Brain Heenan. I just saw that, I think it was yesterday, the Million Dollar Man noted that George the Animal Steele is battling some serious health issues. So I just want to put a shout-out to George the Animal Steele. Hopefully he can overcome this and be on the road to recovery.
Yeah, I got a chance to meet him a couple of times when I first started working there in 1998 with Vince, and he was a nice guy, too. And like I said, anybody that's suffering, with bad health issues like that, the only thing you can do is just pray for him and certainly, wish him a speedy recovery.
Absolutely. Real quickly here, the poll results. We got some interesting poll results this week. And this is something that actually Frank inspired on our Facebook discussion group. Will CM Punk ever fight in the UFC? We've known he's having some issues recovering, getting himself ready for the big fight in the UFC. And 74% say no, he will never fight in the UFC. 26% say yes, Frank. I don't know, Frank, do you ever see him in the actually having a match or a fight in the UFC?
Yeah, I do, Steve, and I think he'll only have, just what you said, a match, a fight, one time. That's it. It'll be just one thing. It'll be one time only. He'll probably lose, and that'll be the end of it. Because once he loses, I mean, all the money goes out the window right there for any future CM Punk, you know, UFC fights. So I think he'll lose. And if all the, everything that people are saying right now, it may not happen at all, but I think it will.
What do you think, Teddy? You think he's back in WWE in about a year?
Well, I've said before, you know, that, man, I know this guy ain't never coming back here. You know, I've seen guys go and you wait a year or two and boom, there he is. So I quit saying that, you know, you never say never. So I don't know, you know, everybody has a price. He could be back in the WWE, but I wanted to touch on what Frank was saying, too. I kind of agree with Frank. You know, I think he'll have one match, and if he loses, that'll be the end of it. But I also think that he wants to do this not so much as proving something to his fans. I think he wants to prove something to himself. This is something that he's talked about and I maybe dreamed about. So I think he really wants to do this for his own enjoyment. So I certainly think he's going to fight there.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the no as well. I just don't... I just don't see it happening. Maybe if he recovers and Dana is comfortable putting him in the octagon. But right now, it just doesn't seem like that's going to happen. But it could. You never know. Maybe he'll recover, make a miraculous recovery, and be successful in UFC. We'll see. Would you pay $12.99 a month for WWE Network to watch current episodes of Raw and SmackDown? This was something that Frank had mentioned a few weeks ago. I guess they were sending out, surveys to see if fans would pay the extra money to have the current Raw and SmackDown. I guess that's one of the criticisms of people that subscribe to the network is they don't get a chance to see the current Raw and SmackDown episodes. And 70% said no, they would not pay the $12.99, and 30% say yes. Frank, do you see this happening in the future where they offer this, or is it going to be one of those where you can subscribe for $9.99 plus you could also pick the premium package for $12.99?
I think it has to be a premium package type of deal. It has to be, you know, the first tier and then the second tier. That's the only way that would work. I just, me personally, because I have DirecTV, so I don't need to watch Raw or SmackDown on the network. So I'm cool with the $9.99, but for other people out there who don't, you know, have cable TV or don't have, you know, satellite, that's an option for them. So I think down the line that, you know, WWE is probably going to end up doing that. They're putting the feelers out for a reason, so they're probably going to end up doing it. They did that whole thing before they announced the tap out deal. They were sending all kind of emails talking about, you know, would you go with, you know, would you purchase tap out, you know, apparel if we signed with tap out? So same thing.
All right, also up, Gerwig.net, poll results. Do you like the VOD villains? 63% say yes, 37% say no. So far, I'm happy with this team. I hope they give them a push.
Well, I'll speak on the VOD villains. I've had a chance to watch them a couple of times, so I'm still not feeling them right now. I think they may grow on me. I don't know, but right now I'm not feeling them.
I've been watching them since NXT, and I think the biggest moment they had is when they won the NXT tag belts at TakeOver Brooklyn, and they had the crowd going that night. But it's one of those gimmicks. Either you're gonna like it or you don't like it. I think they're very good workers, but I'm really not a fan of the gimmick per se. I don't hate it, but I'm just not a fan of it.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to be original. I guess that's the thing. You got to come up with something different, but we'll see how far they go. And then also at Gerwig.net. Oh, I'm sorry, Teddy.
Entertainment now, Steve. Don't forget.
Yeah. Yep, sports entertainment. Should WWE remove Byron Saxton from Raw?
Yes.
65% agree with Teddy. 35% say no. I think he adds nothing to the broadcast. Then again, overall, you know, it's a snooze fest listening to these broadcasters, to be honest with you. I don't see anything with Cole, JBL, and Saxton together. I think it was Frank that said something about the three-man booth. I think it'd be much better with a two-man booth. Just too many ideas, too many throwing comments in there. I just think it'd be better going back to the two-man booth.
Well, let me speak on Byron. You know, I like Byron. He's a nice kid, you know, but he's just low energy. You know, he's just real low energy. So he just needs to just trying to work on something. I don't know what it is, but he needs to work on something. But I was hated last night that they didn't, that the New Day didn't splash him with that cake. I was praying, please take that cake and hit Byron Saxon right in the face with it. So New Day, I want y'all to know, I've been trying to, you know, come around, but now y'all done let me down again.
I know Frank's not a fan of
I'm not a fan of Byron Saxon. No, not at all. I don't care for the guy. I don't care for his commentary at all. He adds nothing to the show. I wish it was just, you know, JBL and Cole, and I can't really stand JBL. But you got to have Michael Cole there as the play-by-play guy, the straight guy, and then you have JBL being the Jesse Ventura heel. You know, that works. You don't have to have a three-man booth. The three-man booth didn't work in WCW, so why the hell would they think it's going to work in WWE? Especially when it's Monday Night Raw, which is not creatively right now the best show out there. So I don't see it working, and I'm just not a fan of Byron Saxon. Just something about the guys I don't like.
I don't know. Is this the three best guys they have for that show? I don't know. The commentary, again, the show's not tearing it off the charts either, but I just don't think the commentary does much for the talent at all. I just listen to it, and I remember somebody commenting they would actually pay the extra money just to have the commentary turned off and play music during Raw. It's just they just don't add anything to the show. It doesn't make you excited to...
Byron Saxton, in my opinion, should be standing next to Martha Stewart. He should be her assistant. That would be a great job for him.
Also, we have a couple of comments here. In regards to the Vince McMahon shares, I got a couple of comments here. Prince's death has a lot of celebrities doing estate planning. So maybe, Frank, with Prince passing away, I don't know if his estate was all in order, but maybe this is part of Vince McMahon plunking down and selling his 2.2 million shares. People are getting their estates in order. I guess maybe Prince inspired it.
Well, Prince didn't have a will. That's what they're saying. So.
Oh.
That's what they're saying. So it is what it is. I mean, his surviving family members will most likely get all of his money because he didn't have any children or anything like that. I mean, he had one son, but the son died. That could very well be the case.
And Heroes Workshop points out that he sold 2.2 million shares for $38 million. He still owns 37 million shares at a current price value of $17 per share. He still has 629,000 shares of WWE stock. So still got a pretty good firm control on the company.
Of course, he's a McMahon. And even if they were to sell that company, he would still have control of that company. So that's how they work things out somehow. I mean, look at the independent contractor thing, right?
Right. And then a couple questions here. Bruce says he's got the question for the Frankster. I think we were asked this a couple weeks ago, but what do you think of No Way Jose in NXT?
I saw No Way Jose. Good wrestler. I don't like the gimmick, though. I don't like the gimmick. It's just me. I don't like it. I don't care for it. But he's a good wrestler. I enjoy his matches. I just don't like that damn gimmick. It's too much dancing. Reminds me of Savio Vega back in the day. So.
And then one for Teddy as well here. The Mamba Kitchen says, with your awesome charisma, why did you never decide to become a pro wrestler after being a manager and a referee before your time as the SmackDown GM? Diamond Dallas Page, another person with awesome charisma, went from being a manager to a wrestler and had both a successful career as a manager and a wrestler. So why didn't we see Teddy Long tear it up in the ring?
Well, the reason I never decided to do that is because once I got involved in refereeing, then that's basically what they wanted me to do. Nobody never really approached me about being a professional wrestler. You know, I did get in the ring when Abdullah the Butcher had a wrestling school. I did go down there and train under him for a little while. But I wasn't a big fan of taking bumps, okay? So that's why I didn't worry about it. And then, like I said, they never did approach me with being a wrestler. You know, I was always good at, you know, refereeing and being a manager and talking. So that's what they basically wanted me to do, so I never did think about wrestling.
Yeah, Teddy's smart. Why take the bumps when you don't have to?
Yeah, exactly.
Managers, announcers, they don't take the bumps, and they're still involved in the business, and you were in the business for a long time, so I think you were using the brain there.
Yeah, well, I'm 30-some years in the wrestling business, and 10 years in WCW and 15 in the WWE.
Absolutely. want to remind everybody we're on Twitter at Gerwick Report. I'm on with the Gerwick.net website at Gerwick at Teddy Play Along. Teddy Play Along on Twitter. TeddyLong.com is the website. And I think you got a show coming up this week, don't you, Teddy?
I got a show coming up. Well, two shows this week. This Thursday night, I'm going to be in Ringo, Georgia, Wrestle Jam. I'll be on that show, like I said, with Nature Boy Ric Flair and Kevin Nash, Hall of Famer, and another Hall of Famer, Ron Simmons. Jim Cornette will be there. Also, this Saturday, I'm going to be in New Orleans, Louisiana, with Luke Hawk with Wildcat Sports.
What do you think, Frank? You think Ric Flair will still be crying on Thursday?
Oh man. We gotta leave Nature alone. My thing though, I'm more interested in is that we're gonna have Kevin Nash and Jim Cornette in the same building.
Wow.
That'd be kinda funny because I remember what Jim Cornette said about Kevin Nash. He's like, you know, Kevin Nash had five moves including the hair flip and all this other shit. So it'd be kinda funny. Because I remember Kevin Nash said he was on teabag Jim Cornette, so that'd be kind of funny. You gotta let me know if that happens, Teddy, if he's on the teabag or not.
I certainly will. I'll definitely let you know.
Teddy will have the report next week on the Gerwick Report podcast.
Also, one more thing, though. While we're plugging stuff, youtube.com/Gerwick.net. Go subscribe today. We put up content all the time from this show, Breaking Raw. Me and Abby do the Raw Deal. The Raw Deal podcast is exclusive at youtube.com/Gerwick.net. So check it out today. Subscribe to our channel, like our videos. You never know, we probably got some contests in the works to get to 1,000 subs and keep going from there. So grpgerwick.net and all the gerwick.net media, we're blowing up.
And we should also mention as well, Teddy Long also has a YouTube channel, so people can subscribe to that as well.
Exactly. I think that's on the Teddy Player Long, I believe. I'm not sure. Teddy Long Player. I don't know. I'm not sure. I got to get that information right for you. And so next time we ask that question, I'll be able to give it to you.
Well, I'll definitely note it in our official release for the show. So definitely subscribe to Teddy's YouTube channel as well. And as always, we appreciate you listening to the Gerwick Report podcast. Be back shortly with the next edition.
Holla.